You're listening to Errol Parker and Clancy Overall, editors of the Batuta Advocate on Desert Rock FM.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. My name is Errol Parker and welcome back to the Batuta Advocate radio show. With me here in the back room of the Enmore Theatre is Clancy Overall.
Hello, hello. Yes, still in Sydney. Spent a fair bit of time down south actually with this tour. And today, of all places, we are in the Inner West, the communist enclave. A lot of ironic R.M. Williams boots, I believe. But, you know, a lot of people that look like they could have spent a bit of time out west, they dress that way. But yep. When you talk to them, you soon reveal that they're studying a range of different arts subjects at university.
Yep, there's plenty of shit haircuts too, Clancy. Lots of home jobs. But we've made our way up from Sylvania, where we were last week with Becky Lucas and Cameron James. We're backstage here at the Enmore Theatre. We're about to interview arguably Australia's hottest act at the moment, off the back of their appearance at the Arias or APRAs, was it? Or ACMAs?
No, it was Arias, and they won the Album of the Year last year. So 2017, they won Album of the Year.
Yep, and the band that we're about to speak to is currently chugging their way through, is it five or six nights back-to-back?
Six.
Yeah, six back-to-back nights at the Enmore Theatre, and by the time you'll be hearing this, they'll be on a jet plane to America, where they're touring for the first half of December, and then they'll go off to their respective corners of the planet and have their Christmas, because they're a very international band, as you're about to hear.
Yes, deep thinkers as well. That's why we're very excited to land an interview with these guys. It's a gang of yous.
Well, they've just walked in through the door here. Here's, yep, we're ready to go. Okay.
Well, here we are at the Batuta Advocate Roadshow. We've got two more to go, Canberra, Sydney. Currently sitting here backstage at the Enmore Theatre. With some kindred spirits, also on tour, David LaPepe and Chochi Malani.
Some dark kindred spirits. Pooh Brown, to be exact.
Well, you guys have got two more shows left, don't you, here? Mm-hmm. You've got tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight and tomorrow, yeah. So yeah. Before last night, we've done three shows, two hours. So we've kind of only had one day off in between two, three shows, which is a bit taxing, but not as hard as having to do a show in
Whoop. Yeah. Or, you know, working underground in Mount Isa.
I made a joke about Mount Isa the other night, actually. Yeah. My Uncle Chris is a miner there, but I was like talking about our mate David Andrew, and he's from Mount Isa, and it just fucking room went dead. Like it was
was it on stage?
In Sydney. Yeah, it was in Sydney. And then like, fucking Mount Isa, where the fuck's that? It was like that kind of thing. But I don't know. No one knew where it was.
That's where Pat Raft is from.
Yeah, Pat Raft from there. I remember his bonds.
And Greg Norman.
I feel like that was a lot of people's sexual awakening.
The Great White Shark.
Is Shark from Mount Isa?
Yeah. The Great White Shark's from Mount Isa.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
From Mount Isa. Shark's land, man.
Yeah.
Did he play? him like sitting in this big fucking mining shaft, like making putts.
Yeah, come on, Sharky, you got it, mate.
I can imagine him being kind of like Ben Stiller's character in, what's that movie?
Zoolander. You reckon?
Where, like, he was meant to be a miner and all he wanted to do was play golf. They're, like, embarrassed. I got the black
and
lung,
he's using, he's using a pickaxe as a pitching wedge.
And look, so that's how A Star Is Born, right?
Yeah.
Look, we...
Golf man, pa.
Yeah.
Golf man.
Golf man. You go from Mount Isa to being in Florida to being Malcolm Turnbull's only contact that could get him in touch with Donald Trump. That's how it went down. So, speaking of chasing your dreams from a little place called Mount Isa, or indeed Inner West Sydney.
Inner West of Sydney. Yeah.
And you?
Northwest.
Northwest Sydney.
But you're from Fiji, though.
Fiji, yes.
Born?
Born.
Right. Suva?
No, Lotoka.
Right.
Lotoka. Yeah.
And have you got much family over here?
Immediate family and like certain cousins and stuff, but majority of my family.
There's a little connection though between Mr. Clancy here and a member of your family though, isn't there?
That Joey is Lala, the Tasmanian Fijian. Talks like this.
Oh yeah, Bulavanaka, guys.
We were in Kansas City and we saw a guy who full on fucking looked exactly like Joey, and I flipped out and I ran up to him like, dude, you have to see this guy. And I showed it to them. I showed Joey, Chachi's brother-in-law, to this dude, and he flipped out.
Like, that is me.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. He thought it was him for a sec. He's like,
was he African American?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So you got family around the country? Any Queenslanders?
Yeah, my brother and sister and Joey, who you know, live in Brisbane. I got family in Melbourne, and then hopefully I haven't started my own family anywhere else
around the country in Kansas City.
That's a very Melanesian story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a Melanesian joke.
Melanesian and Polynesian joke. Yeah.
And David, you have a vast family tree.
Yeah.
Of many different looking branches.
Yeah. So my mum, she's the daughter of Holocaust survivors. My opera and alma were Fred and Sabine Gunsberger, and they were born in Vienna, Austria, and they fled the Nazis by Shanghai. So my auntie Rose was born, and then they came to Sydney and settled in Western Sydney in Guildford. That's where my uncle Gershon and my mum were born. And so that makes me Jewish on my mum's side. And my dad is Samoan.
Right.
So that is my kind of weird heritage thing there.
So did you guys, as two of the biggest rock stars in Australia, think as kids, little Islander kids getting around northwest, inner west, that was a possibility?
I think Chachi probably not, because Chachi had a really traditional Pacific upbringing in a lot of ways, and probably like more associated himself with the church.
Traditional as fuck. Yeah.
Like you, because you look Fijian, you look Melanesian. I could pass for someone who is in Polynesian, definitely. You
know, deep Greek.
Yeah, I could do Greek. Oh, fucking pasta bol to Costa. I could probably pass for a lot of things, but Chach is just black. So I think like the difference in our blackness is pretty significant. Right. And I think because like I guess I grew up in the vicinity of things that seemed like tangible musically. Mm-hmm. You know, but we both grew up in church, so I think we were always given access to music, and we never really. What do you reckon? Like, I never really doubted, but maybe it was completely different to you, for you, obviously, because there's a lot of pressure for you to become like a doctor or a lawyer or some shit, right? Like,
yeah, I just I felt like something to do with music was undeniable, but if I'm really honest, I just thought it would just be like with church.
Yeah.
So the common thread, really, that kind of drew this gang together was the gang of God.
Dude, you honestly, like, it's absolutely true. Like, we were kind of bound together by this historical connection to religion and to God and to the church. So I don't think, I mean, Chachi and I met in Sunday school.
Yeah, right.
Like hard out. We're
in the same shoes.
Yeah, we were in the same shoes. And I think but that as well is a pretty Pacific Islander story as well. Yeah. Like, you started playing music in church, you know, and then you kind of either stay in or get out. But
like, there's a lot. You're not the only band that met that way, right? Violent Soho, Matt Corby came that. Australian Idol came out of the same place. You
know? Dude, no, it's true, man. Like,
even outside of Australia, it's crazy how many huge bands.
I was talking about Whitney the other day with Zane Lowe, and there's so many people who come out of the church,
like Royal Blood, Kings of Leon, and like so many, like even bands that don't identify that way. Mm-hmm. Like there'll be one or two members who are like part of it, pastor's kids or like grew up.
Because one of the central components of our upbringing was praise and worship, wasn't it, Chachi? Yeah. I played drums and keyboard and bass in a little Baptist church, and then we went to Hillsong, and you know, everyone that I knew there was on stage at some point playing music.
And the instruments and the ready-made crowd that kind of gives you a kickstart.
Yeah,
you feel pro. Yeah, you got to have little in-ears and stuff.
No, it's true. Yeah,
pedal boards bigger than
And you have like solid you have solid rehearsals, and you have the pedal board thing. It's just like we're surrounded by an environment on one hand that kind of affords us opportunities to fuck up and make mistakes early on. But I think in a way, like, me and Chach, when we were like, I was really young when I started like touring and playing. Like, I was 13 years old when I was in a van with my bass or, you know, whatever, playing venues and whatever. We kind of stepped out of that and started playing in bands, and we were quite young anyway. Like, I did this thing called School of Rock, and we used to have like an end of term concert at Manning Bar or Annandale. And that's how I started playing in like indie rock bands and hardcore punk bands, and Chachi did the same thing. So we kind of took.
The only male member of an all-girl band.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell yeah.
But that gave you a lot of experience in like learning how to play with people outside of the church context, you know, because there's less direction and there's more kind of creative control, and you're playing music that you write yourself.
Yeah.
So me and Charles have always kind of like tried, but it's not really common for people in our circumstance to do that. Like very few people make it out of, for example, the Polynesian, I'll just say Polynesian, like Pacific community. It's same thing. Very few people make it out of that culture anyway, like into and kind of make progress in other avenues in terms of like the mainstream broader thing, let alone people who come out of church. Like it's not, you know, it's not super common. So
you said that in your speech last year, like it was good to be on stage to just prove that, you know, you didn't have to be an NRL star or an
RB. You don't have to be,
Absolutely, or security guard.
But the thing is, like, you don't have to be a fucking doctor or lawyer. Like in Fijian culture, like, you know, education and like achievement is really important. You know, probably less so in Samoan and Tongan culture, but in Fijian culture, it's kind of like a different thing.
Being in this band, I guess the journey until recently was like pretty hard for me with my family. My family are very like supportive, loving people, but just culturally, that's what it was. There's no way other than being a doctor, a lawyer, or, you know, maybe in politics or something, you know, for supplying like a good lifestyle for your family. And because in our culture, it's because of how it's just been in the past, back at the chiefly system back in the day. It's like the better you do as an individual, the more your greater family relies on you. So it becomes this big pyramid thing.
And you become like the apex or whatever.
So you don't just end up, you know, providing for your family, but your village or, you know, your province. And so this idea of being a musician and doing that, just like, that's just not something that they can grasp. Like no Fijian has ever done that before.
But
no,
it's awesome. So weird because Fijian culture is so musical. And same with Polynesian culture. It's so strange. Just that like, that's just considered to be like a cultural staple rather than something that is like sustaining, in terms of like a livelihood.
There's more ceremony.
But it's also weird, like I can't necessarily, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't hold like Pacific people responsible entirely for that perception that somehow achievement is achievement and like, you know, that kind of like immediate recognition of a high ranking or social ranking occupation is somehow negative, because it's kind of like the way that people force their way out of poverty or fight their way out of poverty. Or it's kind of the way that I think a lot of Pacific people have learned how to be accepted as migrants in places they adopt. And so it's understandable, but it's just like, it just gets hard for people who, like I didn't grow up particularly Polynesian at all, despite the fact that my dad's like Samoan. Whereas, you know, for people in Chachi's position, it's a lot harder to try and break through the mold.
Do you know what the backup would have been?
I would have been a bricklayer.
Yeah.
I think, fully.
I think...
You would have been a lawyer.
You could have been a doctor, I reckon.
No, I honestly... I reckon... I don't know. I just feel like... being friends with Dave, for me, and like the world he opened me up to, not just what he exposed me to musically, but just like... I don't know if you guys have gathered this already, or just, you know, everyone listening to this podcast, Dave's a pretty smart guy. So he's not, he wasn't like the run of the mill kind of Islanders. I hate using that term, but like literally he wasn't like any other Islander I met. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I had never met Dave, I'd be, hey, how you going, Sol? You know, I'd talk different. I'd be really different. I would never think about things the way I think now.
Yeah.
Dave, I remember so much of our first years of our relationship was like you loved a lot of stuff about like how I was being Fijian, but you always challenged some of the stupid
the conventional things.
I was a big pushover. I was a big yes man because that's how you.
You're still a bit of a yes man.
Still
though,
a bit, but nowhere near as bad as how I was. But you know, and
you're a very like obliging person. Like that's the thing, like you always like try to fulfill your responsibilities, I feel like,
Well, that's how you just taught in our culture. That's the right way to be. And I think if I continued that way, I still would be in church. So I myself am not religious at all.
Whereas anymore. I would probably say I still am in a lot of ways. Right. So
And I reckon if like we weren't doing this band, I'd be pastor or something.
Yeah, right.
I reckon I was you know, something to do with church.
There's still a lot about you that's quite pastoral in so many ways, though. So I think you retained all the shit about the Christian thing that made sense to you and makes sense to the world. But I think just like all the baggage, you probably like didn't need it. You know, I think that's the case in a lot of people who end up leaving church or leaving religion. But like,
I didn't leave in a bad.
You didn't leave in a half.
I still go sometimes.
You're not on Rumspringa.
Rumspringa. So Amish people, it's their rite of passage. So they get given an opportunity.
Oh,
to live
right, that whole thing. Yeah. No.
So they get to shave the neck beard. Yeah.
It's like Amish schoolies.
Yeah. I did a society and culture. I guess assignment in year 11 on Amish people, and it absolutely fucking fascinated me. So the first time I ever drove through Pennsylvania and I saw Amish people, I burst into tears because I could not fucking believe it. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Like it's amazing. Wow. This kind of autonomous, self-determined community who've lived that way for fucking generations, who have their own language, their own system of ethics, and you know, like I don't know much about the inner workings of the culture because no one really does unless you're immersed in it. But it's just such a pretty inspiring thing that these people are living, you know, relatively harmoniously with American society without fully integrating it. I think it's kind of fascinating.
There's a couple from where you're from, north of that Wiseman's Ferry up there in
Hawkesbury.
There's a couple.
Yeah. So they're Anabaptists. So Anabaptism is like a chain of Dutch Reform theology that I'm not entirely sure, but it stays pretty close to the Reformation style teachings. But they're but I think that it's catered kind of towards that community. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it's a pretty interesting thing when it makes its way over to, like, remember we were in Tassie and we saw those Mennonites who come down for a conference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's cool.
Does he recommend you books a lot? Like, you got to read this, man.
I bought you Soconomics.
Yeah, I read heaps. I'm a very literate person.
So tell us about the other guys in the band, all from different parts of the world.
All immigrants, yeah.
So you got to... You got a Polishman, we do too in the newsroom.
It's so weird how like one of the greatest jokes I've ever heard was, I think it was Stuart Lee, and he's like, I'm fucking sick of all these foreigners coming here, taking jobs from our Polish. And it's so weird, how Polish people in a global context would be considered white until you get to the fundamental, like the Aryan perfection, I guess, or the Eurocentrism idea, like, of radicalized right-wing nationalist extremists, and Polish people are exempt from it somehow. Yeah. It's so bizarre to me.
Oh, except in Kyogre, they're pretty white up there.
But yeah, that's Donny. He's the drummer. So I think he's first generation Australian. I think his mum was born here, but his dad's Andreas from Poland.
And Korean.
Jung's Korean American.
He's actually but he only lived in Korea for like a year.
Yeah,
he spent most of his life in Chicago. Yeah.
Right.
It was a broad church then.
Yeah,
it was a fucking broad church. and then Max is from New Zealand, but doesn't really constitute as
particularly diverse. We don't talk about several countries.
West Brisbane.
Yeah, Max is like, I don't know, Max is about as Māori as you can get, I think.
Yeah.
With it actually being ethnically Māori.
Yeah. Now, tell us about this tour. You guys, as Chonchi, you're the party boy of the crew, but even with that,
apparently,
even with the inhibitions, you still have managed to do we're on tour, okay? So this is unbelievable. We can't fathom it. How many Enmore theatres you've done? That's 2,500 people downstairs.
Yeah, so six of these. Obviously, we had to skip one because I was sick, but we've, out of the 21 shows we were doing in 30 days, or 20, was it 20 or 21? We've done all except one. So yeah, it's pretty, and then we're going straight to the US to do a run of shows again, East Coast thing. Yeah.
How many dates in America then? Like
12, 14.
Yeah, I just know we finish on the 16th of December.
Yeah, so we start...
Yeah,
we start in Nashville and we end in Indianapolis, I think. And then
I'm home by Christmas.
Well, no, because I'm doing Christmas in New York. Chachi's coming to visit New York.
But I leave just before Christmas. I fly to Fiji.
But he's coming to visit me, which is the important thing.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody? He's coming to visit me. Not you. Me.
How do you get around?
He's my fucking friend, you cunts.
How do you get from Fiji from New York? Is that a few flights?
New York
to L.A., LA to Brisbane, Brisbane to Fiji.
Right.
So I land just before New Year's.
No, Right. So how has that been on tour? You guys, like as I said, you kind of you for this part of your career, you've kind of pulled back on the rock star stuff, as in the after the after show stuff. That you couldn't have done that any other way, do you reckon?
Well, the thing is, like, I've just never done it, even when I was drinking a lot, drinking heavily. We're not really that kind of band. I don't really like to do that. It's not because I'm not a social person. I love people, but I don't like those kind of enforced, like, contrived situations where you're kind of feeling pressured into interacting with multiple people, not giving them the time of day. Like, Chozzy, you're a pretty introverted guy, but you tend to work okay in those environments, whereas I'm really extroverted, but I'm not like, I just don't really like them. And it's sort of like after playing a show for 90 minutes, after singing, you know, 4 or 5 shows a week kind of thing, like, just rough on the voice, so I've got to be careful with it. But
yeah. Nothing robs you more personally than like just not being able to give someone not having like an adequate conversation or time, like you feel so unfulfilled. Like we had the best show ever, River Stage, on the weekend, and I walk off and there's just like too many people, and like you try to talk to one person, they pull you, and they, like,
it's hard,
and you end up walking away just going, why do I feel like shit? You know, can't invest any time.
You're more prone to social anxiety than I am, though. Like, you know what I mean? Because I really...
You can put your hair over your face and go full Hutchins through the crowd.
Well, no, but I don't even do that. Like, I love... I could sit and talk with someone for hours, and, I'm real hugging. You know, whereas, you know, like, you are like, it's like more introverted. I would say you're an introvert. Like, despite... You're not a shy person, introvert, so you're probably more prone to the anxiety of being around fucking 50 trillion people at an after party or something. It's kind of a weird thing. Like, I feel like all the guys in some way are really good at interacting with human beings on their own level or in their own way. But I think in these forced environments or in these very convoluted means of having to communicate with people in a high-pressure situation where it just seems like it's been structured around a show, and it's just, you know, like there's like a weird kind of unspoken protocol. It can become a little bit stifling, a little bit suffocating. But at the same time, I don't know, not really that interested in the after party thing. I've never done it. I've been to a couple of Aria's after parties, but I didn't go this year, and I probably won't ever go again. It's not really my thing.
Yeah. It's,
did you go?
It's pretty dark. It's very grim.
Really?
I'm not going to say anything. But
no comment.
So there wasn't just like one hangover from hell where you just like, actually, fuck this.
I quit drinking because it was destroying my life. I've had a few hangovers in hell, but I just think, like, I don't know, like, you're not really a big drinker anymore, are you? It's not really.
Well, even when I do, I was like dealing Hydrolyte last night. I just pump Hydrolyte and I take care of myself when I'm drinking, so I never get hungover.
Yeah.
You guys are a lot smarter than the other rock stars.
But I think the idea is like the perception of what it is to be quote-unquote a rock star. Like, I think in our wildest dreams, we would never even come close to considering ourselves close to something like that. Like, I'm really reticent to even consider ourselves like famous in that regard, because it's a fruitless, pointless, like self-deluding endeavor. Like, the whole idea. So like,
put a TV in a pool.
No, fuck no. Because like someone worked really hard. Someone has to work hard to clear that TV out of it. And I hate the idea. It's a self-indulgent bullshit, like, undertaking. You know, like the notion of being a rock star. Like, and it's not helpful to people. It's not helpful to me. Like, my wife, like, isn't interested in being the wife of a rock star. No. So, you know, and my dad would be fucking disappointed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, we're not even remotely interested in it. It's just a load of shit.
Yeah.
It's a fucking load of like, and it's culturally promulgated. It used to be rock stars with guitars, and now it's rock stars with fucking, you know, like Papa Molly doing trap. Like, it's the same. It's the same. I keep using the word delusional. It's the same delusional idolatry, you know, like, as if we're somehow elevated above the audience that who are the only reason we exist. It's a fucking travesty.
Well, we've found if you are into toning it down, we've walking around this area, found a plug for some kava down there at the Fiji Spa store.
Oh, yeah.
South King. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, eh? I like it.
I used to buy stuff from there.
Carver's good for you.
It's pretty overpriced at that store.
Yeah, Carver. You get it for cheaper back home.
Oh, they dig it out of the fucking ground at home. Yeah. There's a Carver store in my wife's hometown in Wilmington, North Carolina. There's a Carver
really?
Store. Yeah. It's good. They're selling Carver there.
Yeah, it's taking off in America.
I'm cool with it, man. I think it's good.
Because they're wanting to treat anxiety with it.
It's an anti-inflammatory, isn't it?
Yeah. And they've found that it's great for a bunch of different things.
All Blacks get into it. They used to get into it after matches to kind of chill out.
Apparently, Ruben Wickie is famous for never getting injured because he'd have a bowl of Carver to himself every night.
That's cool.
Before?
Every night before he slept.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
It's just... It's just a good thing that we grow on the islands, and I think it's cool that now that Palangis have kind of figured that's white people or non Samoans.
Migloos for you, Migloos.
Gringos for you, gringos.
Now that you white dogs are famous, you fucking honkies. Now that people have kind of discovered it's cool, and I don't know, it's sort of a weird thing that we're not crying cultural appropriation because it's like. Polynesian and Fijian, Polynesian, Melanesian, Micronesian cultures are all really interested in sharing. We want to share our shit.
It is interesting though, because it is something you'd want to kind of keep tabs on. Because realistically, could anyone tell you where marijuana came from, apart from maybe Dave?
The crop was cultivated, I think. Maybe I might be wrong, but it might have been from the subcontinent.
I was just about to say India.
I think that's where it probably came from. Because like we think of Bangladesh, it means fields of something or fields
on
of hash.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that's what they call it, guns, right?
Right.
Yeah. I have a feeling that that's where it's from.
I read that in that book you gave me. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think it came from Jamaica and or Northern Rivers region of New South Wales.
And the thing is, like marijuana and pot and carver are just really different things because, like. We don't use carver in the islands to get high.
It's not like
some people experience something from it, but it has ceremonial, familial, religious significance. And people just like the taste, and it's just drunk socially. It's probably closer to like wine.
It does the opposite thing to alcohol.
It slows down your metabolism. That's true.
It numbs you.
Yeah.
So it's literally like taking anesthetic very slowly.
Yeah.
And so after a while, you can't feel your mouth or face.
So like if people were using carver to try and get fucked up, I think that's probably like a weird way to use it because I don't think
it's not going to work. It's if not you really drink it work. Too quickly,
yeah.
And it's
you
really
pass
yeah.
out for like 48 hours and you wake up the worst hangover, which is something that's happened.
Chelsea sent me videos last time we went to Fiji of all his family drinking carver and it's fucking messy. It's so good.
Yeah.
But it's only messy because it flows freely and it's like, but yeah, you wouldn't use it and abuse it the same way pot. It's kind of a different thing.
My only experience is in a giant plastic Tupperware container down in Annerley, so it's different kind of story. Post match celebrations.
Well, in Samoa we call it Ava because we don't really use the K in like informal speech, but Ava ceremonies are really beautiful actually.
Well, here we have a hardware store that sells hot dogs and onions. Have you guys been to a Bunnings?
I thought a hot dog had to have like a Frankfurt sausage in it. A sausage roll or a hot dog?
It's a sausage in a piece of fucking paper.
Heavily bleached bread.
Did you guys see that Bunnings, there's that whole thing with the onions?
Onions or some shit.
Now they have to put the onions in first in the bread because onions were slipping out of sausage rolls when they were putting them at the top and someone slipped and had an accident.
Yeah.
Call the unions.
Yeah. No, this is legit.
Imagine if a person was walking down the street, you know, like a street that's lined with heaps of the jacaranda tree.
Where I grew up, the street I grew up on was fucking nothing but jacaranda. I used to slip over all the time.
Imagine if some rich bloke went arse up there and says, all right, no more jacarandas.
Wouldn't happen in Queensland. Tell us, just quickly, we've spoken about being high-profile Pacific Islanders musicians in Australia. What's it like in America? Big, I mean, I'm not sure about Melanesia, but big Polynesian population in LA and Chicago.
Yeah, Uso.
Yeah, my Uso, my bro.
My bro.
Hey, Sole.
Sole.
How you going, Sole?
bro, you know Dwayne, my cousin?
Bro.
Sole.
Sole.
Yeah, American Samoan, right?
Yeah.
What's that like? I mean, obviously, you've had some instances where you've.
I got a few good mates in LA, and they always talk about how like there's a huge Polynesian community in LA, but I've never met anyone like who's actually entrenched in that community. I have a friend in the Oakland area. Her name's Jean. She's a fucking really talented artist, Jean Melisaina. Most of the Pacific Northwest, Californian ones. There's even a pretty big population in North Carolina where my wife's from. Right. Most of them are American Samoan.
Yeah, right.
If you're American Samoan, you are 40% more likely, or 40 times, sorry, more likely to be in the NFL than any other, I guess, group of people.
Really?
Yeah. They call it the Football Islands.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it's a really weird thing how such a small population, I think there's only like 60,000 American Samoans in American Samoa, maybe 100,000 along the West Coast. They contribute to such an enormous cultural institution.
That's a lot of apexes.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Like, America still has a colonial outpost in American Samoa and obviously Hawaii. Mm. You know, there's a Polynesian island that's like, you know, one of the 50 states.
So is that how they all get into wrestling? Is it through the NFL?
A lot of them play college football and get, you know, injured, or, you know, like, I mean, that's how Dwayne Johnson did it. But, you know, a lot of wrestlers like Roman Reigns, Rikishi, who else? Like, a lot of, like, they've all kind of come from a football background, you know.
Oh, nowadays they come from the NRL, Vidot. So we'll see how he goes. What do they call him? The ghost. We're talking to Tai Tuivasu about He said he invited them to the club just after he'd signed that contract with WWE, and he wasn't there. He'd left the table with the grog there, but it's because his name's The Ghost. That's the Samoan Ghost.
Oh, my gosh.
That must be where he got his wrestling name from, because he wasn't there.
The Ghost.
Oh, bro, you can't see me, bro.
It's kind of weird, man, because Jordan Mailata as well, he's a South boy, but he's not even American Samoan. I think he's fully Samoan. He's fully Samoan. So he's from, he plays for the Eagles, or he's on the 52-man roster, 53-man roster, whatever.
For years, it was just Booyah Tribe in the public kind of space, right?
Yeah, as well. And I think, like, it's weird because, I mean, Polynesians in the conversation of blackness have never really been considered, like, in the same way as, you know, like a black American was until Booyah Tribe. And I think it's interesting because, like, Melanesians and Polynesians have a similar history of exploitation and slavery in the Pacific. So it's a weird thing when you start to look at, like, the prominence of Polynesians in America and see how many cultural and socioeconomic similarities there are with, like, with the broader black American population. And so I think it's just because we're so small, like because Shachi's got Polynesian heritage as well, he's Tongan. When you consider, you know, the size of our population, but also the size of our contributions to culture, like the most famous actor in the world is a Samoan guy. It's pretty interesting.
Best football player in the world was a Samoan guy.
Are you talking about Keanu as the greatest actor in the world?
Dude, I watched John Wick 2 yesterday and it was fucking amazing. I'm tragic. I like any movie with an infallible, unbeatable, like, protagonist.
There's a man with nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And he just, and everyone's like, everyone calls him like, like, they give him like weird epithets, like he's the personification of death, and like, you look the devil in the eye, and like, the main character is the devil. It's fucking
a real man on fire. He's about to paint his masterpiece.
I remember playing Tomb Raider when I was a kid. I'm like, this fucking chick's amazing. You can do literally everything. Like, but anyway, that's everything. No, but when you think, sorry, I'm like hogging this conversation, but it's just a fascinating thing for me to see how our relative to our contributions and size, we're not exactly considered to be in the same kind of echelon as, you know, other ethnic minorities in America, predominantly because just our sheer lack of numbers. But when you think about the fact that, like I was saying before, there are two colonial outposts, imperialist outposts that still exist in the Pacific, like, it's, you know, maybe a conversation about Pacific Islanders in America needs to happen, because currently in the census they're considered to be Asian, whereas we're not, like, really Asian. We live in the Pacific, you know, and Chachi's black, he doesn't look Asian. You know, my dad was a dark, you know, my dad was a black man. And so I think in the future maybe more conversations about this are going to start happening, not angry, aggressive, fucking tribalist, annoying conversations where people are, like, comparing the levels of privilege and oppression, like, that's stupid, but maybe things that are a bit more, like, you know, relative to the experience of individuals within the community. Like, that's
where they live.
Exactly, man. Yeah. I mean, they're all on the West Coast. Like, you know, Polynesians, You know, and you think about, like, I always think about, like, the fact that, you know, 40,000 years ago, we were circumnavigating the Pacific. And that's a fascinating thing to me, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know. And now you're touring America, so.
Sorry, I totally hijacked that thing. The anthropological implications of what the Pacific means in the broader social context of the world is really fascinating to me still. And I think it's like culturally on a mainstream level, it's since Moana, it's kind of come to a little bit of like prominence, but it's still like unexplored, untapped territory. And I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like the last part of Earth that was discovered by the Europeans.
Yeah, exactly. And Captain Cook, man, he fucking moved through the place.
He went right to the
very Fortitude
end.
Valley was the last part of Earth.
Well, there's signs of life down there.
Oh, King's Cross.
Do you guys see that he was that American missionary John Chow who went to the North Sentinel Islands in the Andamans and tried.
And he got Captain Cooked.
He got fucking Captain Cooked.
Sounds like my weekend at Fortitude Valley, man. I have been places and Fortitude Valley never ceases to surprise me every time. Yeah. We had this little after party kick on at a bar after a River Stage show.
Yeah.
And when we walked out for a
carded on the machine on the way.
Yeah.
You would tell me that to me.
I pulled out an old ID which didn't even have my date of birth or anything, and the guy just put it through and looked at me and just like this. But we walked out for a smoke.
I wasn't there. Was that true?
Yeah, it happened. I didn't tell you about this, but we walked out and this fight broke out out front of the kebab shop.
Yeah.
This guy starts
everyone sliding on the
swinging at this woman. And like he misses, and then they separate, and then they just start throwing kebabs at each other, and ducking. And this guy got like smacked in the face with a kebab, but it looked like he got punched.
Yeah,
and he like fell over. And one friend's going over to like, "Oh, are you okay?" And we're like, "This is just a kebab to the face. What was in that kebab?"
Yeah, yeah. I'm allergic to garlic.
Deadly nut allergy.
Fucking Nosferatu's there. Like,
I always remember in the valley one time we saw this thing where this guy was having a fight with his partner and she was getting stuck into him with the heels and he was just copping it, right? It's like, you know, what do you do? It's like kind of just chill out a little bit and like he's trying to just dodge these things.
1960s Fellini movie where it's like some scorned lover is like whipping a guy.
She was. He must have been playing up and she was getting with the heels and his only response was a kind of bear hugger. And then as he's done that, all these roid boys walked out of a nightclub and it kind of looked a bit bad what he was doing. Like even though he was like diffusing the situation, he looked like he was like starting some shit. And these guys came over like, "Don't you ever touch a woman." He got dusted off and we walked up.
There's something nice about that in theory though. At least people have come and done.
And we walked up to him afterwards. We're like, "Man, we saw the whole thing. You just got unlucky twice."
Wow.
So what is in the immediate future? American tour, another album? What's going on?
I don't know.
Live somewhat of a normal life this next year.
Yeah, we haven't been back. Tochi hasn't been back to London in God knows how long.
I spent 3 weeks in my room this year.
Oh, really? It's pretty hectic. Yeah. So he's had a hard one. So.
Yeah. So Christmas album, something like that. What's going on?
Yeah, I think we're collaborating with Hillsong actually.
Actually, we've decided to pull the plug on the Christmas album and hold out for Easter.
That's a new one.
Yeah,
it's a bit darker. Darker.
Or you could do the an Anzac Day one.
Oh,
you
know, true.
Too controversial.
No comment.
Yeah. Queen's birthday.
Yeah.
Here's an idea though. Would you ever do language?
My Samoan language is minimal. Like, yeah, right. You know, I can kind of navigate my way around when I'm there, but like outside, like I'm pretty terrible. I can navigate.
Christina Aguilera did a Spanish album. I'm not sure if you remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's weird because I was about to say like I don't think a Pacific language thing would do well, but Moana was fucking everywhere, so maybe it might.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Pacific language one could almost be more insulting because like the swearing in the culture too. Yeah.
And also there's so many languages. Like Fijian dialects alone, like there's probably like, you said probably like 100 different dialects down there.
Something like that.
So in Samoan there's like one. We're too lazy to come up with like
Uso.
Uso.
Sole.
Yeah, Sole, yeah, my
Uso and Uso.
You're like my Polynesian brother, bro.
I don't know. I think the next record is probably going to have some reference to it because of my dad dying, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I think it's one of those things where we don't, like, we're not that interested in making broad cultural statements, mm-hmm. like, for the sake of it. So I think anything that we do is going to be, like, kind of intentional.
Yeah.
And kind of like...
Nothing obvious.
Yeah,
nothing and abrupt, like wearing traditional Fijian attire at the NRL Grand Final.
Chachi wore a Sulu at the NRL Grand Final, but I think that's
and someone wore a Warriors jersey.
I think as well, I've never been Polynesian enough for the Polynesian community that I was surrounded by as a kid, or barely surrounded by. Like, so I think for me, it's kind of a complicated thing. Like, my identity has always been kind of like, Chachi's always had a really strong sense of Fijianness, whereas my Ngangana Samoa, my Samoan language is really poor. My Fa Samoa, my Wave Samoa, I didn't really grow up with it. So I think for me, it's a little bit more complicated. Like, how am I going to integrate this newfound expression of my cultural identity and my connection to my father and my father's people in a way that is not only respectful to the community that I didn't really feel much a part of as a child, but is reverent to my own experience going through it? It's kind of a weird thing. Whereas, like, Chachi's always had, like, a real, like, profound sense of connection to his land and his people and his village and stuff, you know, so...
Chachi, can you crump like your cousin or your brother-in-law, sorry?
Oh, man. Cannot come close. My brother lives with my brother-in-law, and they're both great.
Yeah, Frank's a good dancer, right?
Yeah.
Is that a church thing, the crumping?
Probably.
I think it's dancing in general.
Yeah.
That's why Justin Bieber comes.
Fijians just have, like, a real sense of... real good sense of rhythm and movement and agility. Like, it's kind of the just... I think it's like a genetic thing. Like,
you know. Well, we all remember Vulcan, right?
Yeah.
Gladiators.
Oh, the Gladiators.
Yeah, Vulcan. Vulcan was sick. I always thought... Jalen Nye, was he a gladiator? It was... I feel like... No. I don't know. I remember this kid that I grew up with. We used to say his dad was Tower. Yeah.
His Aryan dad, yeah. Taipan.
Taipan!
That was some good... Yeah, it was a good era. Yeah. Of Australian television. Now, thank you. We better let you get to soundcheck. Yeah. This has been a hell of a potty. We'll be well and truly out of Sydney by the time this is broadcast. We'll be back in the desert, and you guys will probably be on a plane to America.
We will be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Dave.
Yeah,
Chachi.
It's been great. Thank you,
Harold. Cheers, thank you very much. Great to put some faces to the name.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Us too.
And of course, there's a whole lot of other people in the band that we couldn't fit in this room. So thank you, Gang of Youths.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, that was the Gang of Youths. Well, two of them.
Thanks for tuning in. And I'm Clancy Overall. Be kind to each other.
And my name is Errol Parker. And once again, never talk to the police without a lawyer present. They're out to get you. They will destroy your life. And keep that in mind.
And stay out of the pokies. Thank you.